Good morning.
Good morning.
What's up?
How are you?
I'm doing good. I just meditated this morning. I had been slacking on my meditation, so I meditated this morning and I had a really good one. So I'm good.
Lovely. Yeah, I did mine too.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good. Ready for the chat.
Same.
You're looking
beautiful and glowing over there.
Thank you. So are you. You got your tea. What kind of tea do you have?
I always have green tea in the morning. This is like my ritual. Yeah. I've been doing this for like 10, since I was like 10 years old with my mom. Me and my mom used to do it.
I cannot get into green tea. I don't know what it is.
Oh, wow.
It doesn't taste like anything. I could do like matcha, but regular green tea is just
it's not for you.
I would have to add a whole bunch of stuff to it.
It's cool. Don't trip. We're good. Got some different folks in the building. Indianapolis, Charlotte, Sacramento is here. Boulder, Colorado is here. We're looking good this morning. Afro Yoga Belgium is in here. Yes.
I know.
It's a good morning already.
Good morning, everybody.
Yes, good morning, y'all.
It is.
So excited to have you. This is now day three.
I'm about to be smiling this whole time.
I'm so hyped. In a really cool, relaxed way. But this is part three of our series that we've been talking, Decolonize Your Teaching Mentorship Program. The graduated mentees have been coming on here to chat with us about their experience of going from yoga teacher to wellness entrepreneur. It's such an important conversation, and we've had some great talks the last two rounds. So I'm excited to talk with you because I feel like everybody's kind of brought something different to the table and different experiences. Sure. And we talked a little bit about that with Shaquila yesterday of just like how everyone was kind of doing something a little bit different. So I'd love to just have us get started with you telling us about you and your yoga journey.
Yeah. So my name is Megan, and I'm from Long Beach, California. I moved up here to the Bay Area in 2015 to start my career as a flight attendant. So I was doing that for about 5 years. And within the first year, I just noticed myself feeling really anxious and feeling really unsettled with all of the traveling, with not really knowing how to find balance between it all, waking up in a different hotel 4 times a week, which I thought is what I wanted to do. And then just after a while, after that first year and the excitement kind of wore off, I was like, I don't know if this is for me. Like, I would just find myself being unhappy all the time. Every time I would come home, I just wanted to sleep. I was just losing track of days. And so I decided to try yoga. I had never done yoga before. I always was interested in it. It was just something about it that caught my attention. So I went on YouTube, and I think I typed in black girl doing yoga. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know.
Let's get to the basics.
I didn't know who to reach out to. I'm like, give me the basics. And I think it was just like a 5-minute beginner flow, and I did it in my living room. Mind you, I was in a 2-bedroom apartment in San Francisco with 5 people.
Of course you were. Of course you were.
Yeah. So I was like, I don't even have my own room. Like, I'm traveling and I don't even have a space to just be with myself. And so I would go and do this, the same yoga video. I would do the same yoga video in my living room. And then it was just like sun A salutations. So I kept doing that. And then I started practicing on the hotel floors, like anywhere that I would travel to, I would find myself doing yoga there. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this just feels really good. I couldn't figure out what it was about yoga that I liked, but it became a part of my practice. I never really knew I could be a yoga teacher. It just wasn't really a thought. Mm-hmm. I had this perception of what I thought yoga teachers were, what they looked like, how they acted. I was like, I'm from Long Beach. Like, I could definitely not be no damn yoga teacher. So I didn't decide to go on that journey until last year. So there's an organization in Oakland called Black Tea Yoga, and I started going to their events. And one of my friends from Long Beach moved up here, and she was running the organization. She told me, she's like, maybe you'll be up here teaching one day. I'm like, Me, girl, no. Like, no, not for me. And so I just made the decision. I was just so fed up with flying. I was like, I can't do this. I have to figure out something else to do.
Yeah.
And so I traveled to Bali for my birthday, I think 2 years ago. There's yoga studios on every corner in Bali. Like, they are everywhere. And I'm like, what if I could get certified out here? That would be so dope. And so I had my mind set. Hi, Brittany. I had my mind set that I was going to get certified in Bali. I was saving my coins. I was like, I'm just going to go to Bali and get certified. But that's not what I ended up doing. I ended up getting certified out here in Oakland. There was a yoga studio out here, Hot Spot Yoga, that I had never actually gone to. I had driven past it a few times. It's a Black-owned studio. The owner has a big afro. I love Adesina. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should just check it out. Like, I already have a little bit of money set aside that I was going to spend in Bali. I'm like, why not come get trained in Oakland at a Black-owned studio? Like, yeah. I can only imagine what that experience is going to be like, right?
Right.
And when I kid you not, that experience changed my entire life. There were 18 of us in that training program. And I want to say, like, 10 of us, maybe 12 of us were all Black or women of color. And so just the connection that we were able to have meditating together every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, practicing yoga together and just building community. I was like, oh, like this just feels so good.
Yeah.
So I'm so happy that I decided to get certified here. And prior to that, so backtrack a little bit. Prior to me getting certified, I started putting together self-care events out here in Oakland. I wasn't a yoga teacher. I was reaching out to other yoga teachers. I was like, I want to provide a space for us to practice wellness together. And so that also just ignited the flame in me to want to start teaching, is from having these events and seeing how it affected the community and seeing the relationships that are being built. I'm like, I have to go to teacher training. Like, that's obviously the next step for me. And so that's how it all got started, was just me leading with curiosity and then just going for it. I was like, I don't know what's about to come out of this. Like, I have no idea how much yoga teachers get paid. Like, I know nothing. I just know that it feels good and I want to share this practice with as many people as I can. So,
I love that. Yeah. Talk a little more about, towards the tail end there, you talked about you were seeing the impact that it was having on the community and the relationships that were being built. Can you speak more to that?
Yeah, so my self-care events are called self-care soul sessions. I had to cancel them for now, obviously, with the pandemic. But I would just notice people were coming in by themselves. Nobody knew anyone. It was all Black women in a yoga studio. I would just rent out different yoga studios in Oakland. And they would just start practicing yoga together. I would always start with a breathing meditation, just so that we could just kind of build that community through breath. And then I would just notice, like, us practicing together, it just felt like we were all in a safe space and we all felt like we were at home. And even after the sessions would end, some of the women would be in court in, like, circles together, talking, exchanging numbers. They would go out and get tea together. They were exchanging Instagram handles. And I'm like, I have to keep this going.
Yeah.
In some kind of way, like, I have to keep providing this for us, because luckily in Oakland, there are a lot of there are a lot of studios that are Black owned. Well, there's three, but compared to other cities, that's a lot.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have to keep going, because this is something that's much needed in the community. And I have met so many people, and the feedback that I've gotten from having these events is just like, thank you for holding this space for us. I've never felt this comfortable in a yoga studio before. I've never seen a Black yoga teacher until I was at your event, you know. So just really all of the feedback, I was like, wow, this is bigger than me. Obviously this is bigger than me. So I have to honor that, and I have to honor them by continuing to show up. And so
I totally resonate and feel that 1000%. The Diasporian says that she just signed up for white TT at a Black owned studio. That connection is what she's looking for. Absolutely. How, and Roz is in the building. Hey Roz, good morning.
Good morning.
How important do you feel that is for Black women to gather in the name of wellness, and how does that feel for you being at the front of the room of that?
I think it's the most important thing for us. I think we're able to just hold each other. It shows us that we're not going through anything alone. It shows us that we have sisters here with us who are also interested in wellness and interested in self-care and just interested in becoming better versions of themselves. So when you have somebody there with you, right beside you, doing this practice with you, it just gives you more confidence to be in that space. But it took me a minute to get comfortable standing in front of the room as like their teacher. Mind you, at the time I wasn't a yoga teacher. I was just Megan who wanted to provide this space. So I'm like, who am I to sit in front of this yoga studio, you know, and talk to them? So I would just guide them through a journaling session and breathing exercises. I don't even know. I probably learned from a book that I had or something. But I did feel really uncomfortable at first because it was just imposter syndrome. Like, I don't have enough experience to be up here guiding them through anything, right? So somehow I silenced the inner critic, and I just kept showing up every month. I had these events every single month for Self-Care Sunday, and it was just so beautiful. And now I know I have to do it. It's not a choice at this point. I have to do it, and it just feels like I know that I'm walking in my purpose when I'm doing that, when I'm serving them.
Yes. Ooh. So, now, when you became a certified teacher and started to teach, how did that change how you felt in the space?
Oh, I still felt the same. I'm like, even though I have this full certification, like, imposter syndrome is real. It takes a minute to be like, you know, because technically I'm still not teaching in a studio. So, I graduated from teacher training in November, and then the pandemic happened in March. So I still haven't taught in a studio. So, I guess you could say I'm teaching virtual classes, so I do have those moments where I'm like, this is a bit awkward for me to be the teacher still. So it just comes, it gets better with time. Like, I teach these classes 5 times a week, every single week. So eventually I was able to like push it all down. So the certification didn't necessarily give me confidence. It was me continuing to do the work and continuing to do the practice is what gave me the confidence to do it. So
I want to dive into something right here. I want to dive into something right here because, and this fires me up, and this is the reason why I created DYT. One of the reasons. This concept that you're not like a valid teacher, you're not a real yoga teacher if you don't teach at a studio. Ooh, that burns me up because I don't believe in that. I don't ascribe to that, never have. I've shared with you guys many times that 4 days after my yoga teacher training, I went to Portugal to teach yoga at a surf school with the biggest imposter syndrome energy ever because I was like, I'm so new. I'm about to, you know, hurt these people's shoulders because all I knew was power vinyasa. I'm like, I'm about to blow somebody's shoulder out, like having them do all these damn push-ups that they can't do. And, you know, this was at a surf school, so they had to go surf afterwards. So I was just like, Lord, God, help me. But, you know, I knew very early on, and I don't know what it was, but there was a deep conviction in me of not wanting to teach in the studio. And And so I think it's so interesting, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, especially for other people who may not be teaching in a studio but have learned or are self-taught in some way and teach others, or who have gotten certified and are not teaching in a traditional way, especially because right now people can't, right, because of the pandemic. I'm just curious to know your thoughts because I think that this can be damaging. A damaging thought, especially for teachers of color, and be something that holds us back from putting this work and put in these healing practices into the world.
Wow. Yeah, I think the way that yoga teacher training is set up, you kind of already have this belief that the next step is to teach in a studio.
Right.
Because there's not, it's very confusing. Once you graduate, it's like, which direction do I go now? Should I go audition for a studio, or should I go teach in a park? Like, what do I do? So I think teaching in a studio makes people feel a little bit more comfortable in the beginning, especially when you don't know yoga teachers like yourself who have created these spaces and like, I'm about to teach y'all at this museum and I'm about to go here. Like you went out and found these spaces, but a lot of people don't know that that's even a possibility.
Right.
And so, yeah. And so I agree too. I definitely think you don't have to be teaching in an actual studio to be a yoga teacher. You can absolutely find these spaces and provide these spaces. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is show up and invite people to where you're going.
Period.
So that's actually what I did before I even ever auditioned for a studio. As soon as I graduated, actually, while I was in your mentorship program, I was like, I'm about to just start teaching at the park. And mm-hmm. it's donation based. Whoever wants to show up, you can come. No pressure if you don't like, and I started having like 7 or 8 people coming. It was like every Saturday it was Wellness in the Park, Well with Noelle in the Park, something catchy. And that's how I started building my confidence initially, was actually not in a studio. So
I love that.
I totally agree. I think people just don't really have the resources to figure out where else they can teach or how else they can be a successful yoga teacher without the studio, without a different foundation. Totally. So I really think that's just what it is. They just don't know where to look.
Yeah. Sophia says that she appreciates this conversation. She says free hours. I'm assuming she means a few hours away from completing YTT, and she has zero interest in teaching at a studio. Girl, I do too. I don't have no interest really. Sade says, once you graduate, there's no follow-up courses to guide you with your career. Absolutely. Yo, I'm telling you. This is why.
It's confusing.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
Yes.
It's very confusing.
It is. And just feel like you're limited in your options, you know? And then it's like, well, if I want to make a career out of this, how am I going to do that making $20 a freaking class? Like,
exactly.
You know, and then you have these teachers that are running all over town to 5 different studios teaching 20 classes a week. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, how do you live? How? Like, how can you do? I could
Your
not.
Your energy has to be drained.
So much so. So the burnout then becomes like the possibility of making yoga a career is like going around studios and teaching a million classes. And I really, really wanted to show people that you don't have to do it that way, that you can do it any way you want to, right? Camille says, that's why what you do, Angie, is so major. Thank you, Camille. It's so important just to understand the possibility exists. Stone-Based Soul says it's not a sustainable model for teachers. It only works for the studio. Absolutely. Roz, thank you for giving our community more options. Angie, hell yeah, you know, we out here. So Megan, tap in and tell us what you think. Uh-oh. Meg, you are, you are frozen.
Angie, are you there?
Yeah. You froze for a minute, but it seems like you're back now.
Okay, can you repeat? Can you repeat that question?
Oh, it wasn't really a question. I'm just asking for, you know, your reflections, you know, on some of these comments and this concept. Another comment here, Lotus Light Brown Goddess says, I always wanted to become a yoga instructor, and this live right here is giving it life. Absolutely.
Awesome.
How did you, I guess I could ask you a more concrete question. How important was it for you to have that shift in mindset of realizing I don't just have to teach at a studio, I have more options? How has that changed the game for you?
It completely changed the game for me. I will say the timing of your Decolonize Your Teaching program is what really helped me, because I graduated in November and then I started working with you in January.
Right.
So there wasn't much time for me to really be that confused. I had a good month where I'm like, what do I do? What do I do?
Yeah.
But it completely shifted, and it did help that I was already providing these spaces before becoming a teacher. I was like, I already know that I just have to find a space and people will come to practice together. I don't have to be teaching in a studio every week. So the timing of the program was just so divine, and we just started out with module 1, gaining clarity on what your offerings are, what are you giving to your community, and how do you want to do that, completely shifted my mindset and helped me just move forward in what I wanted to do, just by finding spaces and sending people to wherever I'm going, yeah. you know? And I just think that's the most important thing. I no shade really to people who teach in yoga studios, but right. it is a little bit limiting as far as what you can really do, you know?
It's very limiting.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very limiting.
Yeah, so just the timing was really perfect for me, and I'm just really grateful that I came across your mentorship program and started it when I did, because it was, people look at my Instagram and they're like, I would have thought that you've been teaching for 3 years. I'm like, I just got certified in November, but I just hit the ground running, and I'm like, what can I do? Like, I'm like, I want to share this practice with as many people as I can. How can I do that?
Yeah.
And that's what the mentorship program helped me get clarity on, was that really. Yeah.
I love it. A couple thoughts here. Aaron Flores flows. Now is really the time for us to take our own careers into our own hands. I see all these yoga instructors sitting at home because their brick and mortar studio closed from COVID.
Yeah.
Woo child. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. If you don't have the understanding of how to build your brand, you know, as a yoga teacher independently, how to strategically create content, how to strategically connect with your and authentically connect with your community, how to, you know, build a visual brand identity, which you've done such an incredible job at, and create something that feels inviting and warm, and to have, if you don't understand how to gain that clarity of who you're here to serve, and putting all those things together and promoting yourself and having a strategy behind how you're going to promote your offerings, it's very difficult, you know? And so I think that, talk a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so same. I mean, as soon as the pandemic happened, I was supposed to start teaching in a studio April 4th, I believe. And then the studio's closed. So I'm like, how can I reach out and get people to take my classes online? I didn't even know what Zoom was. I didn't even know that that was a thing. And so I remember talking to you, and I'm like, I think I want to offer virtual classes. I already had a following. I already had the engagement because I went through your program. So it was fairly easy for me once we set the foundation, you and I worked together and set up, you know, my Zoom calendar or my Calendly stuff so people could book me. But it is extremely overwhelming. You can't just hop on Zoom and be like, I'm teaching virtual classes on Monday, come check out my class. Like, there has to be strategy behind how you're getting people to find you. Like, how can they find your schedule? How are you promoting your classes? What are you doing in these classes? Right. What kind of yoga is it? How long is the class?
Right.
So it was definitely a lot of work on the back end before I started offering the virtual classes. So
yes.
I was, you know, spending hours a day trying to figure out the most efficient way to offer the classes. So it just, you can't rush into it. Like, you really want to be strategic with how you're going to go about doing it. Obviously, this isn't going to last forever. Outside is going to open back up again, and we'll be able to do things normally. But I am still going to offer virtual classes because I'm able to teach people in New York, and I'm able to teach people in Florida and people in different countries even. So I'm like, this is an awesome way for me to expand. So,
Absolutely.
But I did have to take the time to figure out how to go about doing that, to get people to come and like gain interest in the class and keep showing up. I now have the same students that show up every week, which is really awesome. So, it takes time. Yeah. Community building online is really just the key in an authentic way too.
Totally.
Like, you don't want to just be posting stuff every day just to get people to come to your classes. Like, you still want to be authentic about what you're offering and intentional about your content. So yeah, that's been the journey for me right now. It's just kind of like trial and error, but less error because I've been working with you every week.
Yes. So, you know, for the first time ever in the Decolonize Your Teaching program, at the very end of it, I will be offering a very special package for graduates to continue to work with me one-on-one after the program, and having weekly clarity and strategy calls, which is what Megan and I have been doing every week. What are some of the fruits of that that time that we've spent from your perspective?
Angie.
Stop.
There are so many fruits because it's like, I don't know if it's an Aquarius thing. I want to do like 5 projects at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And so working with you really helps me pick the lowest hanging fruit and start there, and just have a strategy behind it. You helped me really put strategy behind everything that I'm doing, because at first I was just posting just to, you know, gain the engagement on my page. There wasn't a lot of intention behind the picture or behind the quote. I was just like, this is what I'm doing. So you helped me break down everything. Okay, so example, I posted that I was reading the Four Agreements. Working with you, you're like, did you invite people to read the book with you? And I'm like, no, I didn't think about that. And so you just really helped me see a different perspective that always involves people being engaged with what I'm doing. Always making it a community thing. Everything that I'm putting out now, I'm inviting people to do it with me. So yeah, I would say that's one of the fruits. There's just so many. Every time I talk to you, it's just like, I would have never even thought about that on my own. And you help me save time, too, because I tend to focus on one project for way too long. I was creating a landing page on my website. I'm like, Andy, I've been working on this landing page for 2 days. And then I worked with you, and we finished it in like 2 hours. So it's... I just get in my head and I'm like, oh, I need to move this over. I need to change this font, you know, and you just really help me cut out all the excess chatter and just focus on what needs to get done.
And you're crushing it. You are crushing it. Like the little bit that I give you, you're just like, boop, okay, thanks. It's like a baton. I pass it to you. You go already.
I'm like, hey, I got it. Let's go.
I got it. Yeah. Let's get it. And it's been really beautiful, I think, for me as well to continue to support you. And to help you grow in the ways that you want to grow, through the journey, like having the framework and the context of like, okay, these are the foundational elements of what it takes to transition into a wellness entrepreneur. And then you really running with that and me being able to really support you continuously after the program week by week and say, okay, you know, let's do this. What are you up to? What do you want to do? Let's do it like this. This is the plan. Do this, then do that. You know, and that's just been so cool, I think, for me, too. And just seeing, like, it's been validating for me just in having a vulnerable moment here. It's been super validating for me and affirming for me and just, like, my worth and that I really, that I'm good at this, you know, and that this is a service.
Absolutely. Please. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, just like that this is what I do, right? Like that I can stand firmly and like this is what I do. And I know that it's such a huge piece of what's missing in the industry, especially for teachers of color, because there's a bunch of stuff up here that I want to get to. Especially because as teachers of color, we have a lot of times less opportunities. We talked to London on Tuesday about, you know, having gotten fired from her studio for just speaking up about something racist that happened in there. So we know that our opportunities are different and that our communities and who we serve are different, and that when the people in the front of the room don't look like us or represent our communities or our spaces, they can't speak to our experience and they can't give us the level of tools and strategy that we need to connect with ours. Because, you know, the culture it ain't the same, you know? And so to be able to have someone who understands is so important. And so it's so niche specific, you know, like absolutely, for people who really, really want to support their community authentically, ethically, who aren't out here trying to like, you know, make a million overnight, but who want to create something over time, who really want to and truly change the world a little bit and shift our culture. Right. But still get paid their worth and still be able to charge their worth and know their value. So,
that's the thing, knowing your value. If you don't, it's so important to have a mentor, because sometimes you just really need that little boost. You need somebody in your corner who's already been where you're trying to get to.
Yeah.
And that was the smartest investment I've made, honestly, was having you as my mentor specifically, because I had just always admired your brand and then the work that you were doing, not just in Sacramento, but just the work that you're doing globally at this point. I'm like, I have to get into this program, because that was just, it was just a no brainer for me. I'm like, please accept me into this program. I'm like, I don't know.
What I gotta do. Oh, that's so funny. Kamo La Lotus Como La Lotus said she just joined in on the DYT last night, and she's so full of excitement and gratitude for y'all sharing and making this accessible. Yay! Welcome! I'm so excited to have you.
Welcome! That's awesome.
Roz is letting people know how they can check in on your classes. You can go into her bio link and tap in. She's a nurse. Roz says, Meg, your brand identity and clarity on your offerings are goals. Andrew, you're literally the best mentor. Ha! That's so funny. Let's see. Bronny had a question here about how to set yourself apart. She says, how do you set yourself apart as a yoga teacher? That's a good question.
That is a good question. For me, just being authentic and trying my best to show exactly who I am through my posts, through my captions, through my Instagram story, sharing a little bit more about who I am, what I'm interested in, what books I'm reading, what I'm listening to. People want to feel like they can relate to you outside of the yoga. So gaining that trust with people who are following you, and really just being yourself. And I struggled with that for a long time. Mm-hmm. I remember I was telling Angie, I was like, Angie, are people going to want to take my classes if I post this video of me listening to Nipsey Hussle? Like, are they going to think that I'm just too much? You know, I still struggle with that to this day. Mm-hmm. But it's really, like I said, I told you in a different conversation, the people who relate to me will stay, and the people who don't can unfollow or just not take my class. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to be me and, you know, attract the people who are supposed to be here and who are supposed to, you know, be in my space. Absolutely. So that's the advice that I would give. Just be yourself, whatever that means to you, without worrying about who it might offend or who it might rub the wrong way.
Yeah.
Just be yourself.
Totally.
Because there's somebody out there who can relate to you. 100%.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Shannon's in here. You're another mentee from our program.
Hi, Shannon.
Hey, Shannon girl. I want to talk a little bit about leaning into this parallel entrepreneurship that you have going on. And I posted about it today a little bit in the post.
I saw that. Thank you.
Yes, of course. What inspired you to move into that parallel entrepreneurship? And I have to say, for me, it's been a game changer because I do graphic and web design on the side of Afro Yoga that runs parallel. And it's afforded me the opportunity to be able to create and grow Afro Yoga from a really authentic place and a place of true integrity and community service. But Afro Yoga is what actually created the opportunity for me to have a design business, because people started to ask me, well, who's doing your stuff? And all of that. And I was like, well, I'm doing it, you know, and people started paying me, and Lord knows in the early days I was charging like next to nothing. But that's not the case anymore. Either way, those businesses run side by side. And so my design and my graphic design is something I already do for Afro Yoga. And then I get to do that for other women of color to bring their brands to life. So it's been beautiful because I still get to work with it's the same population that I'm working with. I'm serving the same community that I want to serve. Talk a little bit about that journey to parallel entrepreneurship for yourself and what, you know, what it is and what you're doing.
Yes. So it happened accidentally. When I was working as a flight attendant, I was really struggling with anxiety. I kept having anxiety attacks with nobody really knew what was going on. But I would always have essential oils in my little carry-on bag. Mm. And so I would just be like on my jump seat, like smelling my essential oils, which is so not normal when I think about it. It's like, why were you even doing all that? Let the job go, sis.
Let it go.
But for years, that's what I was doing. I always had essential oils. I'm like, that would be so dope if I just started making my own essential oils, because I know which scents. I was doing a lot of research on which scents help with anxiety and stress. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, what if I just blended these together and just made my own oil and then sold them? Initially, the plan wasn't even to sell it. I was like, I just want this for myself.
Yeah.
And so I started making them and just bringing them with me on the plane. And everybody's like, what do you have on? What is that smell? And I'm like, oh, something that I made. They're like, are you selling it? I'm like, no. Like, it just wasn't even a thought.
Yeah.
And so then I just started making more. So I was preparing for one of my self-care events And I was like, I'm just going to make a batch of like 20 and then sell them at the event. And I sold out. Wow. I sold all of them at my event. And I was like, wow, I might be onto something here.
Yeah.
And so I came up with a name. I named the blend the Unwind Blend. And I started marketing it on my website. I put a price on there. And then I started putting it on my Instagram stories. I hadn't even put it on my feed. I put it on my Instagram story that this is something that I was selling, and I sold out in one day.
Wow.
I'm like, clearly this is something at this point. Like, I have to just make this a thing. And so it was just, I kind of saw the response, and then that gave me the momentum to keep making them and to make it a thing. And so everyone's feedback has been just so amazing. Like, this is my favorite scent. I bought some for my whole family. When are you restocking?
Wow.
I get messages every day. When are you restocking? Which I'm restocking on Monday.
Good.
I sold out on Mother's Day, but that's how it happened for me. And I'm like, wow, that was the first time, honestly. So the self-care events was the first time I ever made money for myself ever in my life.
That's huge. So, that's like a huge moment. I just want to just pause right there real quick. How did that make you feel?
It made me feel like I could totally be an entrepreneur. Mm. The word entrepreneur has always been very intimidating to me.
Yeah.
I only know a handful, with you being in that handful. Excuse me. And so I'm like, is this something I could really do? Mm-hmm. I don't even know where I would start. Mm-hmm. And so having those events, I actually sold out my first self-care event. I only had space. You could only fit 20 people in a yoga studio. So I sold 20 tickets and sold out my first event. I'm like, whoa. So it just gave me the confidence. I'm like, you can absolutely do this. And it was a really big deal. And so putting the oils out there and selling them, just every time I get a sale, every time I hear that little money noise on PayPal, it just feels so good, because I'm like, I'm sitting at home right now.
Right.
Making money from something that I love to make and something that I actually use myself. And something that helped me with my mental health. That was the biggest intention behind that. I'm like, this has helped me with my anxiety.
Mm.
So if nobody else buys it, that's fine, but I'm going to use it because this is something that is a part of my practice.
I love that.
So that was the journey for me. And now I'm just like,
and now being able to also generate income from your oils, how is that feeling for you?
It's just crazy. Like, every time I get a message, I'm like, wow, people are really into it. So it just feels really affirming, I would say, that this is something that is much needed. And I want some. Yeah, I'm restocking on Monday. So
y'all better get in there on Monday, I'll tell you what.
They will sell out. It just feels so good to make money for myself. I've always worked for somebody else. I've never been happy working for someone else. And so just the timing of all of this has been so divine for me.
Yeah.
It's just continuous affirmations like, yes, you can do this. Yes, you keep going. Don't worry about how many people are going to show up. Keep offering these classes.
Yes.
Keep putting the oils out there.
Yes.
And it just, you know, it is silencing a lot of the self-doubt that was there.
Yeah. That's so, two things that are just huge. And that's just your encouragement and your willingness to show up regardless, right? Without expectation. And I definitely remember days, y'all, where nobody showed up to class, not a soul showed up to class.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just do yoga by myself, or I guess I'll just, you know, or three people show up, and it's like, you know what? You don't know the impact you can have on those three people, or you don't know, like, maybe you just needed that time for yourself, but don't quit, right? Don't stop just because that, because I think about how far I've come after those things. And then if I see that consistently, I'm like, okay, no one's showing up. Then it's time to either cut that class, shift, like you have to be willing to make changes and to innovate and not allow that momentary, I don't even want to call it a failure, but that experience to stop you from moving forward. You have to keep your mind open and be creative and innovative and think about different ways that you can't survive as an entrepreneur, as a business owner, if you're not innovative. We think of, when you look at Blockbuster, for example, over with, gone, goodbye, right? Like, Blockbuster is not a thing. Redbox probably won't be a thing at some point either. But because these other companies adapted and saw the trends that were coming and saw the shifts in people's behavior, they adapted to that and they were able to capitalize and create an opportunity. And I think that's exactly the same thing we're seeing right now with this pandemic. Absolutely. Is that I don't see it as something limiting. I actually see it as a huge window of opportunity. Yes, I'm a certified Comedic yoga instructor myself. Somebody was asking if I have any experience with Comedic. Shannon says she got her oil and she loves it. Yes.
Yay, thank you.
Sanjay, this is a question here. Most of the teachers and studio offers way too many types of yoga. What are your thoughts on that? Do you have to try to teach it all or stick to your core style? I would like to share on that really quick. So I think that it's important for studios to offer a large variety of yoga because everybody enters yoga at a different point. And if you only have certain styles of yoga, you're really limiting the accessibility for people, I think.
Yeah.
Like for women of color, I've noticed that power vinyasa is just not a great place to start. Let's start with gentle yoga. Let's start with yin yoga and build up because they're new to the practice. And then the other piece is, you know, you need teachers that can teach those all those different styles. So just stick to your style and what you're good at, what you love. I think I always say teach what you love to teach. If I'm in a yin energy, guess what I'm teaching? I'm teaching yin. If I'm in a power energy, that's what you're going to get. And of course, I'm going to still meet my students where they're at. If I'm like, I'm trying to do power and they like, nah, then we're going to adjust, right? But I think it's important to, in the realm and in the vein of being authentic, to be able, because that's when you're going to have the most passion. That's where you're going to be able to connect, because that's where you really feel you're in that energy. And that's the energy that you want to cultivate and create for others. So I think it's really important to teach what you love and to teach where you're at. What do you think, Megan?
I agree. I think there might be a little bit of a delay. Can you guys see me?
I can see you. I can hear you.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
I agree. So everything that I teach, I was trained in power vinyasa. It's not my favorite thing to teach. Power vinyasa is not really my jam, but gentle yoga is. So I do offer one power vinyasa class a week, and then I have gentle yoga, restorative, and yin. These are all things that I already practice in my own personal practice. And so it was kind of like a no-brainer for me to offer that to my students. It's more, it drains your energy if you're teaching a style that you don't even care to teach.
Girl.
You're doing yourself a disservice and you're doing your students a disservice. I feel like it's just, the energy is completely different. So I would say that it is important to have a variety so people can feel welcome in your classes. So they can feel welcome if they're going to studios, so they can feel welcome there. What I did before I got certified was I went to different studios because you know how they offer free classes, like your first class is free. I tried every style of yoga and I was driving all around the Bay Area just to try free classes and just to see what it felt like in my body. And so that's why I'm teaching restorative now, is because that's one of the first classes that I took. I'm like, I'm about to take a nap in this class. It feels so good.
You feel me?
Yeah, I love to teach it and I love to practice it. So I think it is important to have that variety. So, and to switch it up so that your students aren't doing the same sequences every time they come to your class.
True.
So, absolutely. It's important to have that range for sure.
Dope. I want to talk a little bit now more into the community aspect and just, back into just this entrepreneurship and going through the program with other women of color. How was it for you? And you were lucky. You were like the only person in you're the only person that I know, period, who's ever taken a yoga teacher training in a Black studio with mostly Black yoga teachers. That's just incredible and totally unheard of, unfortunately. But how was it for you then to go into the mentorship with other women of color and to have that support in that community around you of women from literally all over the world also doing the same work, right? Or having the same goals or ambitions?
Yeah, the timing was so perfect because I graduated in November and started working with you in January. So it felt more like an extension of the experience that I had just moved from.
Wow.
And so it was just so filling. Every time we got on that call, none of us knew each other. But every time we got on the call, we were just excited to talk to each other. We were excited to catch up. We were excited to share what we had learned the week before. It was just, I've always been big on community building. And so being a part of a program where it feels like this is my community, it was just really nurturing. And it was just really, it just felt really good to be a part of that. So I'm so happy that I did the program at the time that I did it. I knew that I could reach out to them. We had our own Facebook group and we would send each other things that we were working on and just kind of like pouring into each other. And it was from the very beginning, we were building a community from day one.
And to this day, right? Like Shannon's buying your oils, you know.
Right. Yeah. We're watching each other's lives. So it's, it was just a blessing to be a part of a community like that. And to go through the training program that I did prior to that, it was all so surreal.
Unbelievable. So, unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm just taking it all in.
So where are you now and where do you kind of see yourself moving towards? Aquarian energy, hardcore over here.
Yeah.
Me and Megan found out that we had the same birthday because we were in during the time of the program. We both had a birthday and we were like, wait, what? Your birthday's on Thursday.
Hold up.
So it was mad Aquarian energy, which was really cool. Talk a little bit about, and I'm going to grab my charger. Talk a little bit about where you're at now and kind of like what you see for yourself and what you're building.
Where I'm at now. So right now, I'm just really focused on building the engagement on my online platforms through my virtual classes. So that's where a lot of my energy is being poured into right now, is getting people to come to these classes. I teach 5 times a week. And once the outside opens back up, I'm still going to be teaching online. It feels good. I'm in my own living room.
They're
in their own living room. There's no expectations at all. It's like, show up as you are.
Yes.
You know, grab a blanket, grab a pillow. Let's do this yoga together. So that's really, it feels good to offer virtual offerings. So that's where I'm at. Just building the Well with Noel brand. I'm offering other products soon. So I'm doing this essential oil launch while also working on other products that are going to slowly roll out. So just building like a wellness product page, a wellness product presence on my website.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing. That's where a lot of my focus is on right now. And what I see myself doing in the future is becoming a mentor eventually. Just noticing like the more that I have these conversations and the more I found myself giving a lot of advice lately. A lot of people have been DMing me and asking me about my journey. And I'm like, I would love to mentor.
Yes.
Mentor people. I'm not sure. I haven't really broken down like what that's going to look like. But definitely working for myself, creating an online business and keeping that going. And just continuing to be creative and be curious and just lead with what feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as it's providing something to other people. So... yeah, I'm also doing a live wellness series right now. So May is Mental Health Awareness Month. So every week I'm talking with Rosalind Bella Rose about mental health and self-care. Next Wednesday, we're talking about our experiences with therapy. So yeah, it's going to be a good one. So yeah, I'm just continuing to create and, see where it all goes. I don't have like a set plan. I'm just really just flowing right now because this is all really new still.
Yeah.
So I'm flowing with all of these ideas that I have and going from there and having you there with me. So it's a blessing for sure.
Absolutely. For me, like in retrospect, I think to myself, man, I was always meant to be an entrepreneur. Do you feel that way at all?
I just started feeling that way recently because I've just always had these big dreams for myself. I wanted to be a model. I wanted to be, a writer, a poet. I still want to publish. I still want to self-publish the book.
Same.
And so, so I never really thought of the word entrepreneur when I thought of what my career would look like. That was never really at the forefront of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But now, absolutely, as the time is passing, I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I can work for myself. I have been working for myself for the past couple of months. And so, yeah, it's just at this point, I just have to keep it going.
Yes.
I have no choice. It would be silly for me to go back to what I was doing at this point when I've already seen the impact that my work has on other people. So I would be,
I love that.
Yeah, just focusing on honoring that calling is really important to me.
It is. Thank you for sharing all of that, Megan. If you guys have questions, we'd love to hear some questions. Okay, here we go. Bronnie, what have you both found that your followers want the most, classes, products, or workshops?
For me, I would say right now is an interesting time because I'm not able to offer in-person workshops. But when I was doing those, they were really popular. So at the end of the day, I think the bigger answer would just be connection.
Yes, I agree.
Instead of a particular thing, they want to feel connected to people. They want to feel like they're not in this by themselves.
Yeah.
So connection, that's what my followers want. That's what I want. And so that's just what it is. And whether that's a class, a workshop, a product, we're all still connected through that. And so that's what my experience has been.
Yeah.
You say the same for yours?
I totally second that. I've gotten more and more comfortable with sharing like pieces of my story, on my stories. Stories are always like, you know, doing stuff now. And in the beginning, I wasn't sure like how to use that. But the more I started sharing personally, like in my living space or what I'm eating or where I'm at or whatever, or little pieces of my personality, you know, I felt that connection, and that has created just more love for the brand. I am the brand, you know, it's built my relationships with my community. It's developed strong relationships. I spend time in my DMs with people, you know, because that's a great way to have a great place to have conversation.
Absolutely.
And so kind of like Megan said, you know, it's that connection that people crave, and people are buying from you and supporting you and showing up to your classes because there's something about you that has drawn them in. It's not the product alone, because there's a million and one yoga teachers out here. Right. So when we talked earlier about setting yourself apart, it's really all about being authentic and being yourself. And like Megan said, not trying to sugarcoat or mask certain parts of that for fear of not being able to connect. You're going to connect with the right people, and the right people are going to connect with
exactly.
you. And that's going to lead them to be curious about what you're offering. So if I'm someone who doesn't even do yoga, maybe I'm a nail technician, and I'm come across your page and you're listening to a song in your story that I love. Now I'm intrigued. Now I'm interested. And so now maybe I say, well, let me go ahead and give the online studio a try, you know? And then maybe I get into yoga, and then maybe I start to learn more about it, and I'm listening to her podcast now. And so people go through this sort of trail of connection with you, but a lot of it really starts to just feeling like they can connect with you as a person authentically. Camille says, yes, you already know, Camille.
It's so true.
It's so important. And so, you know, over time, then you'll notice certain trends like, oh, people are gravitating to the classes, or people are gravitating to the products or the workshops. You'll notice trends over time. But I think initially it's important to just, you know, be yourself, share of your story, and then offer the things that feel like, I always talk to Megan about the lowest hanging fruit. What feels most accessible? What feels, I don't want to say easiest, because it's not always easy, but what feels most accessible to do right now that I feel that I feel strong in, that I feel confident in, or that I know, a skill that I already have, or that I already know that I can put out there, you know? And so I would lead with that.
I agree.
Yes. Chloe says she'll be signing up from London. Yeah. She's getting into the studio. And that was, Chloe, you and I met because I saw her video on, and this is the power of authentic connection. And I'm gonna give you the perfect example right here. I saw Chloe's gorgeous, amazing hair in a post by Brown Bohemians. And I was like, let me go check this girl out. Who is this with all this fly hair? So I went in and I saw she was making like some mango drinks and walking in Miami. And I love Miami and I love mango. So we connect. So I connected with her immediately right there.
Yeah.
And then she shared a post about, she's the one that I shared with you, that playlist, the Jill Scott versus Erica. Spotify playlist. Yeah. And I had just listened to that, and you and I raved for like hours on the phone about that afterwards. And I was like, oh shit, okay, I feel like there's some alignment here. I reach out to her in the DMs, just replied to her stories. Turns out she's in the UK and that she teaches, or that she works at a Comedic Meditation studio.
Oh, wow.
Right? Soul Sisters connecting, I'm telling you. And so then we started talking, and somebody else had recently just asked me from the UK if I knew any African-focused yoga. So then I was able to ask Chloe to give me information for the other girl. So this is the power of sharing of yourself, who you are, and building or creating an opportunity for people to connect with you authentically. And then doors just open wide when you do that.
So true. Somebody asked here, do you have to have completed your YTT in order to sign up? No, in order to sign up for the Wellness Studio.
I think she's asking about the mentorship program.
The mentorship program.
What do you think as someone who took the program?
No, not necessarily. I think it would be helpful for you to take it after you've completed teacher training so that you just have more clarity on which steps to take first, or at least have some type of plan on becoming certified, because you can't teach until you're certified technically. So yes, I think it is important to have that plan in motion already. You're looking at some teacher training programs already. You kind of already know where you want to sign up. I think you have had some mentees who hadn't graduated yet. Did you have somebody?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. It's not necessary. It's good just because you'll have a sense of you'll have more of a sense of the style of yoga you might want to teach, or this or that. But essentially, it's a business program in a sense. And so it's just important to have the understandings of business and how to put yourself out there. And the reality is that this program applies to anybody really in the wellness industry, not even just a yoga teacher. Does. But these are foundational principles and elements that you are going to learn that are going to help you launch yourself in any industry that you're in, but more specific to the wellness industry. She said she's currently taking a 200 now, and I want to have connection with women that are like me. I'm the only Black woman in my teacher training. Girl, that's the story for many. Come on in. The link is in the bio, you guys. Friday is the very last day tomorrow to sign up and to be part of the round 4 cohort. We already have some folks in there. Do I have to take multiple YTTs to know how to teach any style of yoga? I'm in the process of paying off my first CT and receive my cert. It's expensive. I think that once you go through one teacher training, you have the main thing about yoga teacher training is that you don't fuck somebody up because you understand the body enough and you have a sensitivity to understand. So for me, I'm sort of self-taught yin, because, you know, I've already had trainings in other areas or other styles of yoga. So I think that you're okay.
I think so too. There are, once you get your 200 hours, you can go and take a Yin yoga certification. You can go get certified in Comedic Yoga, which is what Angie did. So you can go in all these different paths, but it's not necessarily required. You can also self-teach and buy books and watch videos just to get an understanding of how that style is taught.
Yeah, I agree. So we're coming down to our last 20 seconds. I really appreciate and thank you guys so much for being here. Please feel free to DM me and slide in my DMs or in Megan's DMs if you have questions about anything we shared. We're happy to chat with you. This is going to be a podcast series on the Afro Yoga Podcast where you can stream. We love you. Thank you. And we'll see you tomorrow for the next live. Bye.
Thank you so much.